We turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, to chapter 6, reading verses 1 to 18, which can be found on the majority of Pew Bibles on page 737. We meet Jesus on a mountainside, preaching a sermon to thousands of people gathered to hear his every word, words that continue to speak to us today. Matthew 6, reading from verse 1. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who sees what you do in private. And your Father who sees everything will reward you. To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. One of the few things you will never see me in is a hat. I just don't suit them. Hats look great on the shelf or on other people, but put one on my head and I just look silly. Okay, sillier. I've had to wear a number of hats in my life. When I started school, we wore caps as part of the uniform. In the Scouts, we wore a beret. When I worked for Greggs the Baker, I had to wear a hat with a hairnet in it to keep my long, flowing locks out of any foodstuffs. As a cost accountant, I used to audit quarries, and I would wear a hard hat when on site. And when I had my motorbike, I had to wear a crash helmet. I'm sure you all have similar stories of the hats you've had to wear in your lives. Hats can tell you something about the person underneath, be it a cowboy or a police hat, a lawyer's wig or American footballer's helmet, be it a chef's hat. A hat can tell you what they do for a living, what team they support, what rank they are, and much more. A hat can also separate you from the crowd, make you stand out from everyone else.
When my daughter Ashley was attending primary school, I used to collect her from the gates if I finished work early. As the bell rang, I would see a flood of young faces streaming out of the classrooms, smiling as they made their ways home. And above them all, no matter what year she was in, I could see Ashley standing out from the crowd because she loved to wear hats. And in particular, she had this bright red one that could be seen clearly from the other side of the playground. But there are some hats that we wear that cannot be seen. For example, I wear the hat of the minister, a father, a grandfather, a neighbour, a son, to name but a few. And some of these hats have several layers and are often worn in combination with others. And I'm certain some of you wear more hats than I do. And the world seems to take great pleasure if giving us more hats to wear when we're already busy with the ones we have. It just loves to give us more hats. And if you're like me, you often find it difficult to find the time to think. Some days, the hats we wear feel like they weigh a ton. And don't get me wrong, I love my life. And most days, I wouldn't change a thing. But sometimes the busyness can be overwhelming. At times, I feel like I'm running round in circles so fast that I might slam into myself. Those days can be discouraging. And of course, I find myself looking for someone to blame other than myself. Of course, it can't be my fault. I'm doing good things. I deserve things to go smoothly. And I'm sure I'm not alone, that when nothing seems to go right, I have been tempted to blame God. Have you ever blamed God for something? When some tragedy befell you, it's only natural to want someone to blame. And though we may know deep down in our hearts that God did not do it, there's a piece of you that says, "Ah, but God, you allowed it to happen. You put us on this earth and you abandoned us to our own choices. And so you apportion the blame to God. Because after all, he's the one in charge." One day, a husband was driving his car and taking his wife out for dinner when she suddenly sighed loudly. The husband asked what was wrong. "I was just thinking," she replied. "Do you remember when we started going out and you used to wrap your arm around me, holding me close while you drove?" This was in America, where their front seats are often those long benches rather than the individual seats that we have. The husband thought about what his wife had said for a moment. And then he looked at the space on the seat between them and said, "I haven't moved." The truth is, when I'm overwhelmed and feel God has deserted me, I have nobody to blame but myself. And the same is true for you. We were created to live in fellowship with God, and he hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't gone away from us. And when I actually take time to consider my frazzled state, I realized I've reached a point when I'm trying to wear all my hats on my own strength. When things are their busiest, I've discovered that I need to take all of my hats and hand them over to God. He should be our first choice, not our last hope. God is the source of all strength and wisdom, yet we cling to the ownership of all the hats that we wear. Why do we wear hats? Have you ever watched Royal Ascot? Especially on Ladies' Day. The hats are enormous. They're all out on display with their fancy hats, saying, "Look at me. Notice me." It was the same sort of thing that Jesus was talking about in our Bible reading. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. Don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the church and street to draw attention to their acts of charity. Don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the churches. There is a group in the Bible that Jesus didn't seem to have any patience with. They were the Pharisees, the leaders of the church, people who thought that they were so righteous, who looked down on others and thought they were better than them, people who looked down on their neighbours and admired their own reflection of their own importance. People who, because of their teaching and studying of the scriptures, should have known better. The Church of Scotland has been guilty in the past of just the same arrogance and folly. In 1834, when the church split in two over who had the authority to appoint a parish minister, both sides of the argument began a building spree. That's part of the reason you will find in many towns around Scotland two churches in the high street or main street that are perhaps 50 yards apart from each other. And then you had the race between churches to see whose hat was biggest. For whoever's tower or steeple was tallest got to lord it over the other, because their church was closer to God. And that's a bit ironic when you consider the great and grand cathedrals around the world, many of which were built to declare the power of the church, that the one who they say they follow and worship, Jesus the Christ, was the one who had nowhere to lay his hat, for he had no place to call home. Hats of the churches, believe me, it still goes on today. We can do something about all of those kinds of hats, but there is one hat that we wear that we can do nothing about. It's a hat that restricts us, confines us, binds us, and blinds us. It torments us just as much as if we were the man in the iron mask. It's a hat you cannot take off. It is your very own, your personal, unique, and individual hat. It's our hat of sin. Jesus wore a hat, not because he sinned, but because we sinned. Jesus is the King of Kings, yet his hat, his crown, was not made of gold and precious metals. His crown was made of thorns. Thorns that pierced his skin just as assuredly as our sins pierced his heart. Jesus bore that pain to offer us a place to lay our hats. It's his home, an eternal home, the glory of which we struggle to fully understand or have the capacity to describe. And Jesus does not want us to wait until the afterlife to enjoy the benefits of his house. He knows the struggles we have with the hats that we wear. He knows the pain and heartache we suffer and the guilt that we carry. And with all of these things, Jesus says, "Bring them to me, and I will give you a peace such as the world cannot give." Friends, if you face struggles, if you live in pain, if shame haunts your past, then I urge you to get to know Jesus. Read his word. Talk to him in prayer. Let him into the deepest, darkest part of your heart, and you will learn of his love, a love for you, and you will find a place to lay all your hearts, a place to call your home. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, your love for us is so amazing. You know everything about us. You know all the horrible things we think or do or say. And yet you love us. You love us so much that you want to spend eternity with us. Lord, guide our hearts that we may leave our hearts with you and be burden free and be clothed in your righteousness and free from the past. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.